Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first letter of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. This is our second lesson for today, this second Sunday of Easter. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, hope, it drives the world. Hope motivates the world. Without hope, nothing would ever get done. The farmer doesn't work the soil and plant the seed and water it unless he has hope that it's going to grow. You wouldn't put in 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week at your job if there wasn't any hope that you'd be compensated for your work. A country doesn't go to war unless there is some hope that they might be victorious. Without hope, nothing happens. Without hope, we're nothing in this life. But today is April 27th. It is the second Sunday of Easter. Last week we saw that Jesus lives. For you as a Christian, hope springs eternal. Because Jesus lives, and so will you. Jesus is your living hope. He is your hope in the face of sufferings and your hope in the face of death. Now, when Peter wrote this letter, Nero was emperor of the Roman Empire. A few years before, Nero started the mass persecution of Christians. You see, he had accused Christians in Rome of setting the city on fire as an excuse to kill many believers. And this persecution of these Christians, it wasn't just attached to Rome, contained in Rome. No, it happened throughout the empire. Thousands upon thousands of Christians were put to death because of their faith. About a year after Peter wrote this letter, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified on an upside-down cross next to his wife, because he preached Christ. That same year, Paul was put to death, beheaded in Rome, because of his faith. The Christians were highly persecuted, and that's the sufferings that Peter is talking about in verse 6 of our text. Now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of troubles. We suffer too. We often have grief and all kinds of troubles. Now, sure, we don't suffer the same way as those to whom Peter was writing. Most of us aren't persecuted for our faith to the extent that they were. I don't know any of you whose life was threatened because you believed in Christ, and yet we still suffer. We still live in a sin-filled world, and along with sin comes evil. People mistreat us. Friends let you down. Family members take advantage of you. We suffer through sicknesses and diseases, financial woes, problems at work or at school. We can go on and on listing all the things that we have to suffer through in this life. Where's the hope? Where's the hope for those who suffer in this life? Where's the hope, for instance, for those who sit in nursing homes for year after year, many of whom can't even get up and walk? They lay in their bed, they're eyes can no longer see, they can barely hear. Someone has to help them eat, or to get dressed, or to bathe. Where is the hope for the cancer patient who undergoes months and months of chemotherapy to little or to no effect. We can go on and on. Where's the hope for someone with Alzheimer's or multiple sclerosis or someone who is paralyzed by a stroke? Where's the hope for the rest of us who have to suffer through everything that this world throws at us, that we have to suffer through day after day? Where's the hope? Well, there's no hope for the believer. Whether he believes that or not, the unbeliever has no hope. Many of those unbelievers believe that this life is all there is. We're born, we live our life, we die, and that's it. That's an okay philosophy. It works for them as long as their life is going how they expect it, as long as their life is good. But eventually, they're going to get sick. Eventually, they are going to suffer. And many of those people will suffer throughout their lives. So if this life is all there is, and they suffer, they have no hope. What a sad existence. It's full of despair and sorrow, with nothing to look forward to, no promise of things will get better in the future. You suffer, and then you die, and that's it. No hope. But you have a living hope. A living hope in Jesus. Since Jesus rose from the dead, you know that he has power over the sicknesses and the diseases of this earth, and not to mention everything else that we might have to suffer through as we live in this sin-filled world. God will often choose to take care of those sufferings, to guard you and protect you from them so they do not come upon you. As Peter points out in verse 5, he says that you, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God shields you. He guards you and protects you so that you would not suffer as much as you normally would have without his care and protection. And yet there are times when you do suffer. But even then, Peter says that you can rejoice when you suffer. But why would anyone want to do that? Why would you rejoice when you suffer? Why would you rejoice when you go through trouble? Because it proves your faith. It shows you that your faith is genuine. As Peter points out in verse 7, he says, "Sufferings have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and then may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." When you suffer, you can rely on yourself. You can rely on all the medical advancements that are made in the world today. Or you can rely on God and trust in His power. And when you trust in God, who can do all things, you'll realize your faith is genuine. It's true. You truly do believe. James makes a similar statement, yet his point is slightly different. He says, "Consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." James 2 said that we can rejoice in our sufferings, because when we suffer, we turn to the Lord. We don't trust in ourselves and our own gifts and abilities, our own strength and power. We trust in God and turn to Him. We read His Word, or we are reminded of His power. We are assured of the forgiveness and love that He has given us. And so as we turn to His Word, He strengthens our faith in Him. So as we turn to the Gospel, our sufferings actually make our faith stronger. And so we can rejoice in our sufferings. We can sing the praises of God who uses those sufferings to our benefit. Jesus is our hope in the midst of sufferings because He protects us from our sufferings. Because He makes our faith genuine and He strengthens our faith. But we have hope not just in sufferings. Well, more importantly, we have hope in death. And death is ultimately what we need to have hope in. And there's a reason why we are afraid of sicknesses and diseases. Sure, they're painful, but the main reason why we are afraid of them is because those sicknesses, those diseases, result in death. And no one wants to die. No one wants to have their soul separated from their body. Death is the wages of sin. Death is unnatural. God never intended it for it to happen. And so we're afraid of death. No one knows exactly what's going to happen when we die, exactly what death is like, and so we are afraid of death more than anything else in this life. People will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars just to avoid death for a few more months or years. They will go through excruciating pain simply so that they can live a long life. People in the past have searched for years looking for the fountain of youth so that they might live forever and never die. No one wants to die. We know our sins and we can't save ourselves, and so we may be afraid of death. People receive gifts and inheritances all the time. I can remember in the mid-90s, a friend of my grandma's passed away. And she gave to my grandma her two cars, Buicks. Now, my grandparents, they didn't need a new car. So they gave each car to their two sons. And that 1992 Buick LeSabre was the first time my family ever had two vehicles at the same time. It was a great car. Eventually, it became the car that I and my brothers drove all over the place. But soon that car began to break down, as used cars always do. Nicks and dents and windows that would no longer roll up, and so on and so forth. The repair bills started piling up. Years later, my brother was living down in Phoenix and he had his truck stolen from him. So my dad took this Buick LeSabre and drove it down to Phoenix to give to my brother, which less than a month later too was stolen, probably taken to Mexico and eventually sold for parts. It was a great gift, but that gift faded. It eventually perished, just like every other gift and our inheritance that we might receive. It may be great and glorious at the time, but eventually it runs out and goes away. But not so with the inheritance that we will receive. Peter says that our inheritance from our Heavenly Father can never perish, spoil, or fade. That inheritance that we have from God is a gift of eternal life in heaven. A perfect life with our Savior that will last forever. Unlike everything on earth, it never wears out. We never get sick of it. It never goes out of style. It'll never depreciate in value. It'll be just as precious as the first moment you received it than 1,000 years down the line if there's so much thing as time in heaven. Eternal life with your Savior is the greatest gift of all. And that eternal life is, as Peter puts it, the goal of your faith. He says, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Faith receives the blessings of Christ. The goal of your faith is to receive what Christ has won for you, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven forever. Without that, there is no point in believing. Without Jesus giving you that gift of eternal life, there is no reason for you to be here today. The only reason is because He has saved your soul. He saved your soul by rising from the dead. He rose from the dead and defeated death, and He still lives in heaven today, and He will into eternity. Jesus is described as a living hope. Living. Not dead. Not dormant. Not hopeless or helpless. But living. Jesus lives, and so you have a living hope because you too will live. Your hope is living. Not dead or dormant. But alive. You still have hope because hope is alive. And for Christians, hope isn't some vain wish. It's not something you desire, something that you hope would happen or wish would come true, if at all possible. It's not as if you hope for a new car or a better paying job or for that girl in high school to like you. No, hope for a Christian is a sure conviction. It's absolute. It's knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, this will happen. Not a wish or desire, but something you know will take place. You have that sure and living hope. And because Christ lives, you will rise from the dead and live with Him in heaven forever. And that's your sure conviction. You believe in Him, but you've never seen Him. You love Him, but you've never met Him. You sing praises to Him. You tell others about Him. You even give back to Him a portion of your income. But you have never seen proof that He has ever existed. But you love Him because you know that He existed. You know what He has done for you. Out of love and thanks to the salvation that He won, you show love and thanks to Him again. As Peter put it, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Through faith, you know that to be true. You've never seen Him, but you love Him. You sing the praises of Him because what He has done for you. You worship Him because He lives. Because He is your living hope. Hope moves the world. Without hope, we are nothing. And the unbeliever has no hope. Where is hope for the sick? Where is hope for those who are suffering because of their faith? Where is hope when you suffer in this life? Our hope is in the living hope of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in heaven. We know that because He rose from the dead, we are assured of eternal life with Him, a perfect life forever in heaven. That is your firm and sure conviction. And so you can rejoice in the one you have never met, for you will meet Him and live with Him in heaven forever. As Paul once said to the Thessalonians, "We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him." Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.